Okay, good morning, everybody. Glad to see you. Welcome today to our first service here at the First Colony Church of Christ. And to our new members, we're glad to have you. Welcome. And to our new deacons, we're glad to have you on board and look forward to your ministry here among us as well. And I thought that Chad and Casey had some good things to share this morning. We really appreciate that. Today we are concluding a message series that we're calling Coachable. And throughout this series, we've been talking about the beauty of a coachable spirit, where we give God permission, where we give God permission to speak wisdom into our lives through all available means, through Scripture, through His Spirit, through circumstances, through His people. And God is close enough to do that. God is powerful enough to do that. God is willing to do that. God is still in the life-shaping, life-transforming business, and He's fully capable today. He's not lost His knack for shaping and transforming lives if we're coachable. But not until we have become humble and teachable, standing in awe of God's sovereignty, standing in awe of God's holiness, acknowledging our own littleness, distrusting our own thoughts, willing to have our own minds turned upside down. Only then can divine wisdom become ours. And you know that you are still coachable when you are still open to what I would call fresh conversions. You're still open to a quantum leap. You're still open to God changing your life and growing your life in a quantum amount, not just an inch. You're still open to what I would call a fresh conversion. I'm not talking about just, seeing a sunset and going, wow. I'm talking about, let me put this up on the screen. A fresh conversion is when God orchestrates people, events, and experiences in a way that dramatically expands your own vision or softens your heart in a life-altering way. And probably one of the best things that I could do to illustrate this is just to do that, to illustrate it through the biblical story of the Apostle Peter. When you think of all the apostles, Peter is probably the most colorful. He's the most dramatic. He's the most inclined to action. He is the most verbal. And he was a man who, even though he had a significant past of some fantastic experiences, he was still open to God shaping and growing his life in a dramatic and significant way. Now, what you may or may not realize about the Apostle Peter is just how rigid and strict he was regarding the Jewish ceremonial laws of his day. Hospitality laws, cleanliness laws, dietary laws, holy days laws. Peter was a straight-flying, rule-keeping Boy Scout when it came to Jewish traditions and customs. But one day, God got into the mood to turn Peter's world upside down and right side up so that Peter could himself be more useful in God's hands. Here's the story, okay? It's out of Acts chapter 10, and you may know it as the story of Cornelius. I'm going to pick it up in verse 9. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter goes up on the roof to pray. He became hungry. Ever been praying and get hungry? Happens to me all the time. Peter's praying, he gets hungry, and he wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, Peter falls into a trance. And so God is going to do something in Peter's life. He just, it's dream time. And God gives Peter a vision. Verse 11, Peter saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. And it contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. And then a voice told Peter, "Peter, get up, kill, and eat. I have for you, Peter, a wide assortment of delicacies. They are all for you." I want you to just think about it. Regarding your own appetite, is there a food that you really like now that you didn't start eating until you were, 20, 25, 30? I got to tell you, I grew up really underprivileged. I did not have my first jalapeno until I was 27 years old. That is a crying shame. That's just a shame. It is. So here's Peter. He said, "Listen, I have been Mr. Meticulous when it comes to my Jewish rules, when it comes to my Jewish customs, and with good reason. I grew up that way. That was ways of Moses. That was the ways of my grandparents, the ways of my parents. I have never violated Jewish customs. Listen, and I'm not starting now." But God gives Peter this vision, and he says, "Peter, you see all this? Get up, kill it, eat it, have at it. It's all yours." Verse 14, "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." And the voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Listen, God is not just trying to expand. This is not like God's version of, Food Network. He's not just trying to expand Peter's list of recipes. He's shaping his life. If Peter's open to it. Peter could just stand over here and go, "Look, I'm not starting now. I'm done. No fresh conversions for me. No quantum leap for me. I'm done. I've arrived. I'm as arrived as I'll ever be." Okay? God gives Peter this vision. "Peter, here it is. Have at it." No, Lord, not me. "Peter, don't you ever call anything that I have deemed clean, don't you call it unclean." All right, this is some rapid fire truth coming to Peter. Okay, Peter wakes up, and then there's three guys there. Now, this is not, I don't have these scriptures on the screen. I'm just going to tell you this part of the story. There are three guys there at the house where Peter is, and they say, "Look, our boss is a military official up the road in Caesarea." Some of you've been to Israel, you've been to Caesarea by the sea, and that's where this man Cornelius, who is a Gentile, he's a what? He is a Gentile. That's where Cornelius lives. And he has been told by God, by an angel, to send for Peter. And so these emissaries come, "Peter, come with us." And so Peter is walking towards Caesarea to the home of this Gentile. And don't you know, along the way, all of this is weighing on Peter. And you got to hand it to him that at least he's obedient. He's following. He's obeying. He's moving. And he gets to Caesarea. And he gets to the house where Cornelius is. And Cornelius is a Gentile. I want you to imagine this bottom step is the threshold. Peter gets there and he sees the threshold of the house of Cornelius. He's never been in a Gentile house. And he could say, "And I'm not starting now. I've never been in the house of a gent, and I'm not starting now." But he looks at that threshold, and he enters it. Look at Acts 10, verse 25. "And Peter entered the house." I got to tell you, that's huge. First time experience for him. And he didn't just walk through the door. He walks through the door, sharing the message of Jesus Christ, the saving work of Christ, the forgiving heart of Christ, the good news of grace. And I got to tell you, the message goes over fantastic with Cornelius and his household. And pretty soon it's obvious that the Holy Spirit is at work here. And Cornelius and his family, they say, hey, can we be baptized? And Peter ends up baptizing the first Gentile convert and his family. And then Peter stands up and he makes this declaration, verses 34 and 35. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. Folks, what I want you to sense is that this is a fresh conversion for Peter. This is almost like the day he came to Christ. It's another quantum leap. It's a significant step in his life. And here's what I'm asking you. I'm asking you if you're still open to a fresh conversion. And again, the way I would define a fresh conversion is this is when God is orchestrating people, events, experiences in a way that expands your vision. It softens your heart dramatically. Your values shift in a dramatic way. The direction of your life takes a significant step. You change your habits. Fresh conversions. Now, how do they come about? Sometimes they come about through some pretty extraordinary circumstances. Not always, but sometimes. And sometimes those extraordinary circumstances are painful. For example, everybody here has heard of MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. You know how it came about, don't you? A real estate agent by the name of Candy Leitner in California. Her 13-year-old daughter was walking home from school one day, minding her own business, when she was struck and killed by someone driving under the influence of alcohol, who actually had been charged with a hit and run before. And Candy Leitner, out of her own pain, said, something must be done about this. And it was, she just sensed God moving in her life that someone needs to stand up for these victims. That when someone chooses to drink and drive, what happens is not an accident. You know, we have in our church here, our youth ministry, and our girls' youth minister, Kelly Edmiston, her position is partially supported through the Pam Kaiser Memorial Fund, where Keith and the family just said, look, that Pam had a real heart for that, and we want to keep that going in such a significant way, and they are doing it. And their vision was expanded, and their heart softened, and it grew out of pain. Some of you have had fresh conversions. You did some traveling. It was extraordinary. You went to a different culture. My wife and I have often said that when you travel, you realize that people are just like you, only different. And what we mean by that is they're just like you in the sense of same aspirations, same hopes, same desires, but maybe an entirely different setting, different culture. And some of you went to places where you saw just utter poverty or homelessness or hopelessness. And it expanded your vision. It softened your heart in a way that now there is a particular group of people in a particular place that are very, very real to you. And you've changed some of your habits. And part of your heart goes there. Sometimes fresh conversions grow out of extraordinary events and circumstances. Sometimes they just grow out of very ordinary times and places. I think that's why the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because when you gather together as believers in larger groups and in smaller groups, you can't predict But I can think back to certain times in my life when in a particular church service or a particular small group, somebody said something, maybe to us, maybe to me, and it really resonated, and it enlarged my vision, and it softened my heart in a way that certain trajectories in my life and are different, and certain things that used to not be important to me, I now have an eye for. Fresh conversions come about sometimes through extraordinary events and circumstances. Sometimes they occur through some very ordinary experiences. But in the few moments that remain, I want to give you just three observations about these fresh conversion experiences. First of all, number one, don't hesitate to ask God. Don't hesitate to ask God to give you fresh conversions. I love 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. It says this, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." This is where we just say, God, I'm not afraid of this prayer. God, I am yours. Shape my world. Spin my world. Turn it upside down. Turn it right side up. I put absolutely no restrictions on you. Give God permission. Give God that opportunity. Lord, your will be done. Your kingdom come. Don't hesitate to ask God to give you fresh conversions. And secondly, when you sense the hand of God on your life, cooperate fully. I'm thinking of Peter. Peter, we've been sent by a man named Cornelius, and we want you to come with us. And Peter's initial reaction was to say no, but the Lord had nudged him to say yes, and so he says yes. And then he gets there to the house of this Gentile, and he sees that threshold. I've never been in the home of a Gentile. I've never eaten unclean food. I've never been hanging out with unclean people. And he could say, and I'm not starting now. But he stepped over the threshold. And because he did, now the kingdom of God begins to blossom in the Gentile world. I'm a Gentile. I'm glad Peter was willing to step across that threshold. Listen, Peter never got too mature. Peter never got so sophisticated. Peter never became so seasoned as a believer that he deemed himself to be above meticulous obedience to Jesus. And I'm asking you to be ready to take the next high road. Be ready and eager to do the very next right thing. And when you sense the hand of God on your life, cooperate fully. I think once I may have told you about Irwin McManus. And Irwin's son, Aaron. He said one day when his son was about 5 or 6, he asked him, he said, "Dad, what does God's voice sound like?" And Irwin McManus said, I didn't really know how to answer that question. But a few years later, my son Aaron is now in middle school and he's gone off to camp. And during the middle of the week, Irwin said, I was going to drive up to visit him at camp and visit with some of the other kids at church. And when I got there, I found that my son had almost gotten into a fight. He and another kid had gone at it. They needed to be pulled apart and separated. And my son Aaron was fed up with church camp that week, and he wanted to go home. I took him out into the woods, and we sat on two large rocks. Aaron, I ask, is there any voice inside you telling you what you should do? And my son Aaron looked at me and nodded, yes. I said, what is that voice inside you telling you to do? And he said, Dad, that voice inside me is telling me that I need to stay right here and work it out. I said, can you identify that voice inside you? He said, yes, I believe that is God telling me that I need to stay right here and work it out. I said, Aaron, do you realize what's just happened? Do you realize that you've been exposed to Scripture and your conscience has been so trained that here you are in this situation. Now you are open, you were sensitive, you were listening to the direction where God wants you to go. And McManus said, I was so encouraged by that. And then my son looked me right in the eyes and he said, but Dad, I'm still not doing what God wants me to do. And I said, Aaron, that's your choice. That is your choice. And if you choose to resist that voice that's coming from within your heart, here's what will happen. Over time, your heart will get hardened. And your ears will get dull. And you won't really hear or sense much of anything. But if you will pay attention, and if you will be ready to cooperate, not perfectly, but ready to cooperate, you will find that your heart is sensitive and your ears are sensitive to the leading of God. You will treasure God's voice. The last thing I would say to you today is when God spins your world, pass it on. That's what Peter did. He said, look, God has expanded my vision. God has softened my heart. Here's what God is teaching me now. Here's what God's doing in my life. I've had a fresh conversion. And here's what I want you to hear. Then Peter stands up and again, and he says, I now realize, here's my fresh conversion. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. And when God enlarges your vision, when God softens your heart in a significant way, pass it on. Pass it on. You know, gang, this week you have a privilege to pass along an opportunity for someone to have their lives influenced, I believe, in a very significant and good way next Sunday by Jim Morris, more importantly, by the Lord. Next Sunday's Bring a Friend Day. And Jim Morris is going to be bringing a message entitled, Remember Who You Are. And everybody needs to remember who they are in God's eyes. And everybody needs to remember who they can be under the hand of God. And Jim Morris certainly has a celebrity story, but it is a Christian story. He is a fine man with a powerful message to tell. And God will be here. And God is ready to move. God is ready to shake up our worlds in a good way. And his eyes are always roaming the earth, looking for a heart that's open and coachable and teachable. Don't hesitate to ask God to give you fresh conversions. And when you sense it, cooperate. Be ready to step across that threshold. And when God spins your world in such a good way, pass it on. All right? Now, let me ask you to do something. If you would, please take your order of worship, and you'll see in there a communication card. That communication card gives you an opportunity to submit either a prayer request or indicate a readiness to talk with someone here about baptism or about membership in our church family. I'd like to give you a moment to fill that out. And once you have done so completely, just pass those communication cards to the ends of the aisles, and they will be collected here in just a moment by our ushers. Let me lead us in prayer, and while I'm praying, you can finish up filling out your communication card. Lord God, how I pray that you would continue to coach and teach us, and that your Spirit's power would be palpable. And Lord, we are grateful that you're still in the life-transforming business, and we commit that we're open to do your bidding even in small ways, because we know that in the small steps, eventually you trust us with more and more and more. And Lord, I thank you for the soft hearts that are here, for the pliable spirits that are here. And Lord, we stand eager before you and excited to stand before you, knowing that you're still in the world-changing business. And our world needs your touch. And I ask you, Lord, our church needs your touch. And start with me. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.